So welcome to the coaching call. And what we're going to talk about is how to create an audio logo with a hook. And I'll explain more about what a hook is later. I'm going to give you some very basics. You've probably already studied this in part three of the program. But what we're going to do on the call today is coach you in your audio logos. So there's really four parts to an audio logo, and given in this order. So the first part is, here is who I work with. This is my target market. So I work with, and say who you work with. I work with self-employed professionals. That's my target market. Sometimes you want to get more specific. So I often say, I work with self-employed professionals such as consultants, coaches, and trainers, some financial planners, something like that. The first part about targeting is you want to be specific, very clear, very understandable, no industry jargon, so people really get it. Oh, that's exactly who he works with. Number two is the problem or challenge. So I work with such and such people who have this problem, this challenge, this issue, this concern, this predicament, this something. And in some ways, that's the most important part of the audio logo, because people are living in their problems, issues, and challenges. And if you speak about one that people are concerned about right now, that can get their attention. So I would say I work with self-employed professionals who don't have enough of their ideal clients paying them enough money. So I've changed that over the years. I've said who are struggling to attract clients. I'm more focusing on people that want to make more money, so people who are not working with their ideal clients and not making the money they could make. So that's sort of a double-barreled one, two problems in one. Then the next is your outcome or your ultimate outcome. And here's an important thing. You're learning these lines. You're learning to improvise these lines. You have a particular script that you are flexible with. And an audio logo is not just one long elevator speech. It's really a conversation. So almost always I say when you do an audio logo, you should do the first two parts and then pause and wait for a response. So I work with self-employed professionals who are not making the income that they could make and not working with their ideal clients, something like that. And then don't say anything else. So it's only target and problem, target problem. Then someone will say, well, how do you do that? Or tell me more about that. Or, you know, what kind of clients or whatever. That's when you give people an outcome, an ultimate outcome or result, often followed by the fourth part, which is a story. Sometimes you skip the ultimate outcome and just tell the story. So all of those can work depending on the situation. What doesn't work, and this will become painfully obvious as we do examples today, what really doesn't work is to talk about our process. And process is what we do and how we do it, but it really is not a result that the client gets. And we are very, very, very stuck in processes. Almost everybody, almost all the time, almost pathologically when it comes to this, we talk about what we do, and people don't care about what we do. They care about the results that we produce. And we need to understand the language and the distinction between a process and result. And it is it's rampant, and it will be really, really clear as we start to work with some people. So an ultimate outcome, to be more specific, is this is a very specific result they get. So someone would say, well, I help self-employed professionals who aren't making as much money as they could and aren't working with their ideal clients. And then someone says, oh, well, yeah, that's interesting. So how do you help them? Well, what we do is we work with them so that they double or triple their income in about a year. So That is a result. There is no process in that. That's not how I do it. That's not the program that I offer. That's not a label of how I do it. But we work with them to double or triple their income in about a year. So that's specific, and it's interesting because everyone would like to double or triple their income. And then I might tell a story. Well, we had a person that we worked with recently who was having a lot of trouble increasing her income. Her income was at a certain level and been that at that level for many years. She happened to be a coach and consultant. And we worked with her to improve her marketing. And in 1 year, she tripled her income and tripled her billings. So it's not a long story, and it doesn't tell how I did it. That you can talk about later. You know, there's a lot of time to talk about stuff, but talking about all your process and everything that you did as an initial impression dilutes your impression. So often people said, well, this is someone that attended my Marketing Mastery Program, and that's a one-year program where we meet and we do this and we work with people individually and we talk about this and we work on the seven principles. And nobody cares about that until they know what the result is. So we helped her triple her income in the last year. That's interesting. People want to know more. And now you have a hook. We'll talk more about hooks later because any part of the marketing message can be a hook, and we'll define that, and we'll sort of give examples as we go. So before we do some role-playing on this and just examples, any questions about the basic structure of an audio logo? Any questions at all?
Nope. Nope.
Okay, good. So we have a lot of time here, and we have about an hour and 15 minutes more. So as many people as possible volunteering to do their audio logo. And so you volunteer by saying, this is so-and-so from such-and-such place, and then I'm going to ask you the question, what do you do? And there's only one format that I will accept. I work with such and such people who have such and such a problem. Don't say more than that. Don't say less than that. I don't want to hear any solutions in this first sentence. And I don't want any labels. Don't say, I am a coach, blah, blah, blah. I will stop you immediately if you don't have the formula right. You know, after you've got the formula right, you can veer off the formula. You can do some subtle things. But often people just don't even have the basic formula, and they make this mistake every time, and they wonder why they're not getting the attention that they could. Okay, so what I'd like to do first is I'd like to have someone, the first five or six people that share are people who have not shared on this call. We have some people on this call that have been in this call over and over. They'll have a chance later, but I want new people. Okay, so who would like to go first?
This is Sue from Minneapolis.
Okay, Sue. Sue, what do you do?
I work with self-employed women professionals who are struggling with clutter, overwhelm, and disorganization.
Okay. Okay, pretty good. So the first part is work with?
Self-employed women professionals.
Self-employed women professionals. Okay, that's good. So you've got three descriptors there, which is good. It makes it specific. They're self-employed, they're women, and they're professionals. So if you're talking to someone who is a housewife, they will know that this service is not for them.
Yes.
Which is fine. You know, one thing that an audio logo does is it eliminates people that you don't work with. A lot of people say, well, I have a service that's great for everybody. It's just never true. And then, so that was perfect. Something I rarely say. Perfect. Yeah, I mean, it's so simple when you get... I work with self-employed women professionals, okay? There's some target markets that are harder than that, obviously. But, and then the problem is...
They are struggling with clutter, overwhelm, and disorganization.
Okay, and now you... I like things that come in threes. more than three is a little too much. Mm-hmm. Two is fine, one is fine, but three, you know, tied together like that, clutter, overwhelm, and disorganization.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's memorable. And so that's probably going to hit a button somewhere for a lot of people. So then I would say, well, oh, that's interesting. So how do you help them?
And I would say, oh, that's why I need your help. I don't know. And I have to, can I give you one more? Well, no, I won't. I'll just wait for your question.
Okay, so you know, Sue gave us a perfect example of the initial audio logo. But then when it comes to the ultimate outcome, you know, we're terrible at that. But that it's as good as it gets, what she did. So everyone wants to emulate that. It was a real target audience that's easy to identify. There's no, you know, confusion or strange jargon, you know. It's self-employed women professionals, POW. A lot of those around, so it's a good market.
I do have sort of an ultimate outcome. Can I share
okay.
it with you?
Okay. Before you say that, see, here's the funny thing. Then people will say, well, how do you do that? And the tragedy is that we answer that question. Get what I'm saying? So
yeah,
what we
so
do
we,
is that
yeah.
question leads us into process.
Yeah.
And look, there's nothing wrong with process. It's just not a good hook. See, the target audience is a hook because it's me. I can identify with that. I'm that kind of person. You've got my attention. So hook number one. Hook number two is... it's a problem that I can relate to. I've had that problem before. It's costing me. It's a hassle. It creates stress for me. That's real for me. It triggers my feelings. That's hook number two. So already she's got two good hooks because they're meaningful. They're understandable. They're clear. Nothing complicated. But then people ask the question, well, you know, how do you help people do that? And we immediately go into a process because they really ask for the process. So I want you to imagine when someone says that follow-up question, asking about process, that's really not what they want to know next. And process usually tends not to be a hook, although it can be in some cases. I'll give you some examples. But an outcome is sort of like a punchline. It's sort of like, these people of this problem, when they work with me, they get this. So what you want to hear is when someone says, well, how do you work with people or how does that work or something, what you want to hear is what do I get or what do your clients get when they work with you? What do they get? Okay, so with all that preamble, what is an outcome that they get from working with you that really is, you know, important to them?
I'm going to give this my best shot.
Okay, go ahead. Don't worry. Do it wrong. It doesn't matter.
Okay. The ultimate outcome that they get is they create an environment where they are relaxed, peaceful, and effective.
Okay. Whoops. We got someone clattering around with pots and pans in the kitchen. If that's you, put yourself on mute. Anybody can do anything, you know, in this class. Okay. So let's just analyze that. So an environment that is
where they get to be, and I guess, yeah, okay. I was going to say, create an environment where they get to be relaxed, peaceful, and effective.
Okay. What were your problem ones again? They were...
The problems are that when they're struggling with clutter, overwhelm, and disorganization.
Okay. So sometimes what works is simply to do the opposite of that.
Mm-hmm. So like
We want to go deeper than that. So cluttered, overwhelmed, and organization. So what do you do? Well, we get people uncluttered, get them calm and centered, which is the opposite of overwhelmed. I wouldn't say un-overwhelmed. Is there an opposite word to that? So uncluttered, calm and centered, and organized. So now that's okay, but and it's similar to yours. What were your words again?
Relaxed, peaceful, and effective.
Relaxed, peaceful, and effective. Okay, so here's a little thing about audio logos. The first part, you know if it's working if someone asks you a follow-up question, right?
Yep.
If they go, uh-huh, and they stare at you blankly, you really haven't hooked them at all. Hey, maybe they're not a potential client, but if you talk to enough people that you know are self-employed women, self-employed women professionals, and they don't get hooked, then you know you've got a problem with your first two parts. It's a little trickier with the outcome piece. You want it to sort of clunk for people. It's like, oh, yeah, that's what I want. Click. It's almost, sometimes what happens when you do an audio logo, this is one of my favorite responses. Oh, do you have a card? And if you say something and you never get that response, I call it a that's for me response, right? Mm-hmm. You get the response to the initial two things, oh, tell me more, but the ultimate outcome is what gets a that's for me response.
Okay.
Oh, that sounds great. Now, have you used this?
No, I'm literally, I've been doing this for a while, but I've not had a way to talk about it that feels really comfortable.
Right. So, now, so how do you come up with an ultimate outcome, the ultimate outcome words? Well, one of the places you look is at the actual results and experiences your actual clients have. So I have a client in my last Marketing Mastery program that tripled her income. Some people doubled their income. So that's really measurable.
Okay.
It's very believable, et cetera. And so there's a story behind the assertion or the ultimate income that I help people double or triple their income in about a year. You know, that's a big result to do that kind of thing in a year. So so you have to ask, is what people want and is what people are happy with is being relaxed, peaceful, and effective, or are there other words that would be a little more accurate, a little more powerful, a little bit more of a hook?
Yeah, I get that. That actually, that really helped, even just having you say it that way, because, I mean, I've had people use words like transformational and powerful, and which are not relaxed and peaceful necessarily.
Yeah. Well, you know, here's the thing. If you say relaxed, I don't think you necessarily have to say peaceful because they're very, very close.
Mm-hmm.
They're not exact synonyms, but they have, you know, I'm just sort of brainstorming here, so I don't know. So, what is the one of the problems that's the most emotional? Cluttered, overwhelmed, or disorganized?
The most overwhelmed, or I mean, the most emotional is probably overwhelm.
Yeah, it is, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, especially if you're speaking to women, and if you've seen a lot of overwhelm. So how many women have you worked with that had a lot of overwhelm because they were, you know, cluttered and disorganized? And what would they say after they've worked with you? You know, after I've worked with Sue.
Mm-hmm. And I've really struggled with that. I've gone back and looked at my testimonials, and I'm like, what is it that they're getting out of this? I mean, really.
At least you're getting testimonials.
And they're really great testimonials, but I look at them and I'm like, where's the result? You know, where is the result? And I have people saying things like, I didn't used to know how to make decisions and now I can.
Well, that goes to effectiveness.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have a lot of people say, because really I teach people, well, this is process, clear out the physical, and I teach them to access the mental beliefs that are keeping the physical. So.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, people tell me I help them clear out their mental clutter. I can get the stuff out of my own way so I can give more to others, so I can be a better business person.
Mm-hmm.
This has been a real challenge for you, can tell, just to figure out what is it that I'm actually helping people do. Because it's more than just
might,
clearing out the space.
See, here's what I suggest with this. Here's one of the biggest mistakes people make in the audio logo. They spend weeks trying to get these three damn words.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
But then I say, well, have you tried it on anybody? No, I'm trying to get it perfect. Well, that's crazy.
Ah.
So I say that you're ready to just go out and try it, understand these principles.
Okay.
Use the first two as the initial hook to find out why, and then experiment with your ultimate outcome. And just remember, try not to talk about process. Try to speak about results. And you could say this a lot of different ways, and it doesn't have to be the litany of three words or always. Well, so how do you do this? Well,
okay.
So what's most important is that we work with people so that, first of all, they're uncluttered, and when they're uncluttered, they're less overwhelmed, and when they're less overwhelmed, they're much more effective in their business, much more productive, and they're reaching more of their goals.
That's really great, actually.
Yeah, so
great.
Instead of just using 1, 2, 3 words, I showed it as a progression.
Yes.
You know, they're uncluttered. So I used the words you used in the problems. They're uncluttered. People can see what uncluttered is. You know, my wife right now is on a binge of uncluttering. It's she hasn't been a great organizer, and I don't know. It's like she got religion or something. And she's been buying all these things from the Container Store and organizing all our drawers and all our closets, and we just totally renovated our guest room that looked like a junk room, and every time I looked at it, it drove me crazy. And now it looks like something out of House Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing that you're doing with people. So you give them a sense of that. We get them uncluttered, and so you know, when you get uncluttered, that impacts overwhelm, right?
Yeah.
Because you don't see all the clutter. It doesn't trigger that, oh, my God, there's 10 million things. What am I going to do?
Yeah.
So we get them uncluttered. So as a result, they're less overwhelmed. And then they can have this result. So those are all results, not processes. Uncluttered, unoverwhelmed, less overwhelmed. And now they're more productive in their business. They're producing better results. They're moving forward more quickly. You could say a bunch of things like that. And it's like the clutter and the overwhelm is getting rid of that. Less of that increases something else. It increases their overall effectiveness as a business person, their confidence. There's a lot of kind of results like that.
Well, and the way that you did that and took it as a progression, that was really helpful because that actually clicked in my head to go, oh, yeah, I could easily talk about that.
Yeah.
We could easily talk about that.
Yeah. So it's like that's still all about results. Now, the other thing to do, or the thing to add to this, is to say, well, how do you do that? And sometimes you just throw the story in immediately. Well, a good example is I worked with a woman, business owner, who did have a lot of clutter. She was really disorganized, overwhelmed. She had so many things on her plate. She was getting behind on things. She had a great business, but, you know, it was just it was creating a lot of stress in her life. So that's sort of a story form of cluttered, overwhelmed, and disorganized, right?
Yes.
It's just in the form of a story. So you look at all the client examples, and you say, well, what's a simple but accurate story of that particular client? Everyone's a little bit different, you know, like the story I just told about my wife. I mean, just the way you sort of got it. It's like she hasn't been disorganized and now it's turned around. So then the next part of it is you say, we worked with her, you know, to clear the clutter and get organized. There's a little process in there perhaps. And then now her home looks like this. Her office looks like this. Her projects look like this. See, that's a result. So everything is much more on track. She can find anything easily. She doesn't slip behind on her deadlines. Sort of basic results. And the bottom line is she increased her business by 25% last quarter, or she is blah, 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 some other result. So every story is a little different. So you might want to take those testimonials. Maybe you have to ask a few more questions. Maybe
yeah.
you have enough information already, and to turn those into little mini case studies that you can use.
That's great.
Okay.
That's really helpful. Thank you very much.
I just worked with someone a last session from our Marketing Mastery, and she was working on this, and she had a whole bunch of great stories. And see, a story is very powerful. So, for instance, if I use this conceptually, so her thing is we work with small and mid-sized businesses that are stuck in moving forward. Well, okay, how are they stuck and what does that do? And conceptually it would be, well, we get them unstuck and producing results, but it's still a little abstract. So that's why a story can be so powerful. So here's how the story was. Well, I'll give you an example. I worked with a department in the medical school of an Ivy League university, and they needed to create a 10% increase in profits for the year, but they were stuck. They didn't know how to do it, where to go. Just things weren't happening. So we helped them, and now they're unstuck, and in just 6 months, they got revenues up by over $600,000. Now, it's not the abstractness of stuckness. It's like, oh, that's it. Now they're moving forward and reaching their goals, and they even have a dollar figure on it. We can't always put dollar figures or exact numbers. If we can, that's great. But you get the idea?
Mm-hmm. That's really helpful.
So, you know, the next part of the audio logo, we're going to be talking about marketing conversations, which is the next part. We're going to talk about that next week, and that's what to do after you've done the audio logo. And that's when, you know, when do you know when to stop talking and say, have you got a card and can I send you some information? Often we just talk. Well, the audio logo, the purpose is to get attention and interest, get a bit of a conversation going, find out a bit about them, tell a story, and if there's a connection, then you say, hey, I have some information on this. I have an article. Can I send it to you? Or some other follow-up. We're not going to get into that today. And then go to the next step. So, but make sure you don't, it's easy to go down the pathway of process. Well, here's the 27 things we do, and that just, you don't need to tell that. It's good if it's a bit of a mystery of exactly how you did it. Not a total mystery, but a bit of a mystery, because if you tell all of it, then why do they need you kind of thing? You know, here's the 7 things that you need to have to make sure that you're better organized. Not in this conversation. Okay?
That's great.
So,
thank
Sue,
you.
That'll work.
I've been making it much harder.
Yeah.
I so appreciate you making it easier.
Yeah, it's simple.
Mm-hmm.
It's simple and powerful. Okay? So, Sue, that's a good template for everybody else. So everyone, I'm sure, is scrambling and writing notes and thinking of this and how do I, you know, angle it for the right way. But very good. Okay. So let's have someone else who has not asked a question or shared on one of these coaching calls.
Well, this is John from Michigan.
Hi, John. Okay, I'm going to ask you straight up. John, what do you do?
I work with married couples who would love to have much more from their marriage relationship.
Okay, so what is missing in that? What's different in that than the formula I gave you?
I'm not sure.
Well, married couples is simple, okay? It isn't a 3 thing, it's just married couples, right?
Okay.
And so that's fine. You know, it doesn't have to be fancy. You don't necessarily have to work with married couples that have married a certain length of time, right? After
right.
all, you can have problems in your marriage in the first year or the 20th year, right?
Right.
Okay, but the second part was not a problem. It was an aspiration. So we're going to talk about aspirations. So let's give it to me again. Married couples who want to... Tell me what you said.
Oh, okay. Who would love to have much more from their marriage relationship.
Love to have much more from marriage relationship. Okay. So this isn't wrong that it's an aspiration, but it's different than a problem. So that's something they would love to have. That's an aspiration. If you said they don't have a great relationship, that's a problem. Okay? So sometimes aspirations work better than problems once in a while. They'd love to have much more from their marriage relationship. So just tell
me...
Maybe
I could go on with an extra sentence?
No, not necessarily. I want you to just, you know, as background information, tell me what you mean by much more in their marriage relationship.
Well, yeah, and I went on to sketch out another sentence that basically goes, everyone who enters into marriage dreams of a marriage relationship that will be great and fulfilling and everything they'd hoped for, but couples rarely ever get there.
Ah, so that's more of a problem. That really is
right.
An aspiration coupled with the problem. They want X, but they don't have it.
Exactly.
And often that's a good way of saying it. So if you couple an aspiration with a problem, then it has a little bit more of a hook. And I like that. So, you know, one thing about problems that can be a problem or can be an issue in an audio logo is they can be a little confronting and something that some people don't want to admit. So if I'm at a cocktail party and someone says, well, what do you do? And I say, well, I work with married couples whose relationship really sucks. You see how that just somehow is inappropriate? And I'm exaggerating. Even if you say we work with people in married relationship who have a lot of conflict and troubles in their relationship, that maybe is hard for them to admit. They just met you, you know? It's kind of a tough one. And that's why, you know, all of these are kind of situational. And sometimes something that's aspirational is a little softer. So when I really think of it...
And if I can jump in, one of the things that's sort of tricky here is that I'm a marriage coach, which is a distinction from a marriage counselor. So my, and this is a kind of a specific area, and I'm not... presenting myself as somebody who works with dysfunctional marriages and deals with all that a counselor would do, but really is just trying to help people to...
have a much more fulfilling marriage, right?
Yeah, more visualize, first of all, what a much greater marriage could be at whatever level they're at, and then how to live into that.
Yeah. So I kind of like this, John. I think it's not too bad. So we work with married couples who would really love to have get much more, I don't know, from their relationship or from their marriage relationship. So that would beg a question for me. It would say, like, how do you help people? And then that second sentence that you said was actually great. You talked more about the aspiration than you followed up with a problem. So that was pretty good. So... So often people go into marriage hoping that it's just going to be wonderful and great. After all, they really like this person. They love this person. There's so much stuff in common. But as the relationship goes, the wish of how it could be great really isn't fulfilled, and it's often somewhat disappointing. So I kind of paraphrased you, but that's kind of what you were saying, right?
That's right.
So you could say that in a lot of ways. You know, they wanted it to be great, and it ain't so great. It's a version of that. And that's often very good in an audio logo. You know, we work with entrepreneurs who really want their business to be much more fulfilling. Well, what do you mean? Well, often people go into a business excited. It's the American dream. They want to make great money, and they find that it's just like another job in which they have the worst boss in the world themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's kind of frustrating because they're not making as much money as they could, and they're working ridiculous long hours. So it's a similar kind of thing. You know, they had an aspiration for X, but now they have Y. So the next part is someone might say, yeah, well, I know what you're talking about, or yeah, so what, you know, what kind of things do you help them with or whatever? So again, the temptation to go into process, this, and then this is a great time to use a story. Much better than a conceptual, we make their relationship wonderful, fun, and rewarding. It's like, okay, but that doesn't feel totally real to me. So could you use a story? Remember, stories have to stay anonymous with something like this.
Well, I'm wondering, you know, before I did that, to maybe line out outcome and result a bit more by saying something like,
go ahead.
When couples work with me, or when couples co-design their marriage relationship with me, they immediately move from a 2 to a 5 or a 4 to a 6 or a 6 to a 9 and then keep on going.
On a scale, yeah.
Yeah, so I think they would kind of know that, you know, you're talking about that typical 1 to 10 scale. But
yeah.
To make it a little bit more real, how does that land?
It lands pretty well. I think you've thought this out quite well, John. I mean, I think it's pretty good. Because when you think, yeah, a scale is a simple thing.
Yeah, it's obviously hard to quantify.
But a scale is a quantification system that is real for people. So if you say, you know, people often come to me where they'd rate their relationship on maybe a 3 to 4 scale, and by the time they've finished working with me, they're on the 7 to 8 moving up scale.
That, yeah, I like that wording, yeah.
That, I mean, I want that, whatever that is. It's like,
right.
Oh, it's like, okay, it's, you know, maybe it's under 5, right? It's under 5, 3 to 5 or something like that. People don't want to think their marriage is a total, you know, a total disaster, but they don't really need your help if it's past 7 kind of thing, maybe, but, you know. So you're giving them the contrast that way. I think that's pretty good. I love that. So people can steal that, unless you're in the exact same business as John, this idea of when people start working with me, they're at 3 or 4 on the scale after they're 7, 8, or 9. I mean, then I want to know more. And then a story might be appropriate. Well, a good example is there was worked with a couple who had 2 kids, been married for 7 years, and they weren't having fun anymore in their relationship. You know, they were succeeding okay. There wasn't any infidelity. There weren't any terrible things. But the excitement had gone out of their relationship, and they were really wondering if it made sense for them to keep going. Or, you know, and you can tell 27 different sort of stories like that with variations
right.
on the theme, right? And then you said, we worked with them for a number of months. And one of the things that I was really excited, I knew that our work was working, is they were starting to have dates together again and really going and doing the things that they used to 10 years ago that they'd just gotten out of. They're going dancing, they're doing volunteer work, and they're doing blah, blah, blah. You know, whatever it is. And it's like that kind of real thing is like when someone hears that, it's like, well, I'm missing that with my spouse. I definitely like to know more. So, you know, find your stories, make them, you know, hide the identity. You know, I worked with John over there, and he was a philanderer, but now, no, don't do that.
hey,
so,
Robert.
And you don't have to have a lot of stories, you know.
Right.
A few good ones.
I came in a couple minutes late, but I'm just wondering out loud here if something using this type of progression wouldn't be good too for, you know, a hard-hitting, you know, first page of a website.
Yes.
draw people in.
How far are you in the Fast Track program?
Well, I kind of went through it one other time, and then I'm sort of going back through it again now that I have a real business to work on. So I'm just really starting.
Okay, good. Well, you know, review all the information. You know, review it all. You know, you listen to it the second time, you hardly realize you've heard it the first time.
Right.
Print everything out, take notes. When you get to part five, that's on marketing currency and marketing materials. And then when you go to the website toolkit, you know, to develop materials for your website, go through that section by section, and there's a part on the kind of clients that we work with and how we work with their clients, and here's the services that we offer, and the homepage gives an overview, very similar to the audio logo conversation in many ways. And also in the marketing message part, the last exercise in the marketing message is to create a one-page executive summary. And then there's a whole bunch of executive summaries you can look at in the sample section to emulate those. And often an executive summary can be crafted into the homepage of your site. So all of this goes together. It's all about language and communication. It's all about talking the language of results.
Right. Okay. Well, Robert, thank you so much for that. That was very helpful.
Yeah, very good. I think you're on the right track. I also like the fact, John, that you have a calm, centered kind of way of talking about this. It's rather reassuring. And, you know, to think through all of this, think through the whole marketing conversations part, to write this stuff out, to say it out loud, to practice it with your friends, go out and find places where there's married couples, obviously, so you can use it in the real world and test it, fine-tune it, test it, and fine-tune it. It's like building a muscle, you know? After a while, after you've used it a while, you just hit it every time. Every time you talk to someone that's married, they say, well, wow, you know, I'd love to get your help, but my husband would never want to do that kind of thing. Well, then you have an answer for that. Well, we work with a lot of individuals because, you know, you can make changes that can affect the relationship as well, even if your husband isn't doing it. I don't know if you want to do that, but
no, that's exactly right. It sounds like you could be doing this, Robert.
Yeah, I've gone through a fair amount of this work. I can relate to this as someone who, and I'm telling too much about my relationship on this call, my wife who is cluttered and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, so I have a listening for that. You know, when someone's saying we can help make your marriage better, I'm going, oh, how could you? Because there's a lot of people that approach this from all kinds of different sides. There's therapists, there's coaches, there's people that do all kinds of things, workshops. And if you can produce legitimate results with people that people are happy with it, you know, through your coaching skills, all power to you. You know, there needs to be a lot more happier, more fulfilling relationships in the world, so you're really providing an important service. So great. Keep working on it.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay, we're making great progress in this call, and we have time for two or three more. So who would like to go next?
Robert, this is Judy.
Hi, Judy.
Hi.
Okay, Judy, what do you do?
Well, I work with spiritually based women professionals who are financially challenged in the current economic climate. They have difficulty letting go of control and not trusting others, and they are burning out as a result.
Okay, stop. That was pretty good. Pretty good. Spiritually based women professionals. So it's a different demographic. So so you have to be resonating with that. I mean, a lot of people, more and more people are resonating with this, you know. So many people have read Eckhart Tolle and Byron Katie and a zillion other people these days. You know, spirituality has become more mainstream these days, and people really think, yes, I want a life that's spirit-filled, not just possessions-filled, right? And often women relate to this a little bit better than men, not always. Mm-hmm. So that's not bad. So, you know, I know a lot of people that use this in business. I mean, Kendall Summerhawk talks about this all the time. Spirit-based entrepreneurs. Bill Barron talks about conscious entrepreneurs, conscious business owners. So there's much, and if you run in those circles and you say that, then that's an immediate connection.
Mm-hmm.
So, great. So the other part was a little long, but give it to me again, maybe try to sort of tune it up a bit. What's the problem?
Okay, well, they are experiencing financial challenges, and I said in the current economic climate, because they have been very successful in the past, but the way they got that way was to do a lot of controlling. They kind of thought that they can do it best themselves, and they weren't real good at getting help from other people,
mm-hmm.
and they really are burned out, and they want a life.
Yeah.
They want a life beyond their business.
Ah, I like that, life beyond their business. So that could be, just make a note, life beyond business. So I might say something like, work with spiritual-based or spirit-based women professionals who are struggling with finances, or how did you say it?
Well, I took the key that I thought was really a good point, that people want to maintain their dignity and pride while you're talking about what they're struggling with, and
yeah.
I really took that to heart. I thought that was really, really good, because I first said who are financially struggling,
yeah.
and then I thought, you know, people may not want to admit that they're financially struggling.
Yeah.
So I kind of put it onto the economic climate part, but it did give a lot more words to it. But
yeah, so you know, this is a matter of testing a bit who are struggling financially, especially with today's economic climate, and as a result, they're feeling burned out. You want to make it simple, especially this first part. See, they've said, "What do? You want to say something that's so short and sweet that they can just get it, and then you can say more in the follow-up conversation. So one of the biggest mistakes people make in audio logo is they say everything. Oh, someone asked me what I do, and, you know, you're into your process and what you do, and before they got a word in edgewise. So it's just sort of almost a teaser. We work with spirit-based professionals who are to some degree struggling financially in today's economic climate, and they're really feeling burned out. Stop.
One
of the hardest things is to just stop. It's awkward. It's like, well, I got to fill in the space and keep talking. What if they don't say something? Well, they'll say something. Usually they'll say, oh, that's interesting. So, you know, how do you help them, or what do you do, or what kind of people are you? There's usually an opening. But if you say too much, then they won't have anything to ask.
Mm-hmm.
So you leave it a bit of a mystery, a little bit of, you know, how you work. So then they say, so they're burned out. So what we do is we work with these people so that they can have stick to their spiritual values while still having success and having a life beyond their business.
Mm.
So something like that. So you've noticed this whole idea of mirror imaging the problem or issue with the
mm-hmm.
ultimate outcome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm short, fat, and ugly. After you work with me, I'm tall, thin, and beautiful.
It's so
nobody can quite promise that, but you get it's a mirror image. So it's like, yeah, you don't want that. This is what we have. We have the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
Not in the exact words, so it doesn't look like, you know, a rhyme or something.
Mm-hmm.
But you notice, did that sort of clunk for you when I said it?
Totally.
Totally. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's what to say. And then, but then, again, it's like then we start explaining. And we don't have to explain, better that we tell a story. Again, better that we tell a story. Because the more we explain, the more we tend to dig ourselves into the process hole.
Mm-hmm.
So let me give you an example. Worked with this person who was a massage therapist. And she was working hard and did really well. And then the financial situation happened and less people were going to her. And so she lowered her rates. And then her business started to get less, and she's lowered her rates. And now her rates are about two-thirds of what they were. And now she's making less money, and she has to work with more people, but she's getting less clients, and she's just really frustrated and burned out.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. So you have to have sort of a burnout scenario or client that is, you know, that fits those things of spiritual-based professional who is suffering with the economic climate and burning out or having problems, you know, something that relates to that. And then you say, so we worked with her to look at what she really wanted in her business. So sometimes, as I say, a little bit of what you did, but not a lot. Sometimes hardly anything. We worked with her, what she wanted her business, where she wanted to go, and really helped her realign her priorities. And, you know, I'm probably...
Well, you're doing great.
Yeah, so the thing is you got to watch not too much process. I keep saying it over and over again, but even me, it's easy to get into it. It's like, well, how did you do it? So, but you're not, again, you're not hiding it. It's just not what you're leading with, okay? So we worked with her. I'm just going to eliminate all process to keep it clean. So we worked with her, and now she has a full practice. She actually increased her rates. She's working with much more of her ideal clients. She's working a few less hours, much less stress, and is having a lot more fun in her business.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, that's a result that everybody wants. It's now they want to know, well, how in heck did you do that? I want some of that magic. Rub off some of that on me. You know, that's some of what I do in my business. I say, you know, if you have much higher rates and are working with ideal clients, you're going to be making more money but don't have to work as many hours. That's one of our big formulas in the Marketing Mastery Program.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be really clear and target your audience a lot better and really go for those ideal clients that can pay you more and then learn all the marketing strategies that enable that to happen. And so our clients double or triple their income in a year and aren't working any harder or sometimes less hard than they were before.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's what people want. So you've got to look then, well, what can I legitimately claim that I have produced for people?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you start with your best result and you work from there.
Mm-hmm.
The person that I was just talking with that I gave that one example, you know, at the beginning of the year, she didn't have any of these stories. And now... here's another one. I worked with the owner of a commercial music company, and she was stuck. She lost a lot of business and her confidence along with it. Sounds sort of like your people, right? So our work together has inspired and engaged her and resulted in her doing two documentaries, a TV movie, and a major ongoing engagement with a global advertising conglomerate.
Mm.
Wow. You
mm-hmm.
must be great to get her to do that. What did you do? So it's all results-oriented. Here's the person, she was stuck, lost a lot of business, and her confidence along with it. So simple, so clean,
mm-hmm.
and it's powerful. So here, so do you have some examples that might fit this well?
I do.
You do?
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can feel the enthusiasm in that. And then we realize... See, everyone that you've worked with, that you've produced a great result for is a powerful marketing asset for you.
Mm-hmm.
And if nobody hears those stories, reads those testimonials or case studies, it doesn't do you much good except for word of mouth from that person.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully that will happen. But you can use a story or stories from various clients for years that will give you marketing leverage.
Mm-hmm.
So think of those stories and write them out in a simple way as these examples, you know, this was the person, they were going through this, and you just get it. Yeah, they were stuck or overstressed or overworked or burned out or blah, blah, blah. And now that we've worked with her, this is her condition. This is her state. This is her situation. Here are her results and outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
then they're really curious to know how you can help them. And then you say, you know, I have this little article called The 7 Ways Spirit-Based Professionals Burn Themselves Out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, yeah, that's exactly, tell me. And then you, and then in the article, you know, we talk about how to create an article like this in the marketing currency part of the program. Everyone's, you know, you gotta go beyond the audio logo. You gotta have something that you can give people that's a natural progression. So you want to work on that article if you don't have it now. So then, you know, here are the 7 ways. Number 1, they undercharge. Number 2, they give away too much stuff. See, spiritual-based entrepreneurs went into a business because they love to make a contribution, but they're givers, 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 and they forget that they have to give something to someone else called themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So giving to everybody else. Oh, yeah, you know, you're poor. I'll just charge you $5 an hour. I mean, I've seen so many people like this. And they think, well, if I charged a lot, well, then, you know, then I'm not a good spiritual person. There's all this crap that people carry around about this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of, you know, I want to get a fair fee for what I'm doing, and then people will take me more seriously, and they will get better results, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a whole sort of meta conversation about this whole thing. So how many good sort of little case studies could you put together like this?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I can think of 8 right off the top.
Great.
Yeah.
Now, the next thing is you can integrate those little stories right into the article. So that's a really good technique for an article. So you say step number 1 is, you know, selling yourself at such a low fee. And here's the problem with that, blah, 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 sort of what I was yammering about, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And a good example is we worked with a client who was charging probably half of what she needed to be charging. So we worked with her to figure out what her real value was and what her ideal clients were and how to speak her value more clearly. She started to attract more of her ideal clients. Now she has a full practice that's paying much more than before. People love working with her, and she has a much more fulfilling business. So, and then you tie it up, you know, charging low prices is not necessarily spiritual. You might want to have, you know, 10% or 5% of your practice that you offer pro bono or very low fees, but just for a limited number of people that really can't afford you, but otherwise charge what you're worth, blah, blah, blah. And so you have all these principles, the problems and the principles, and a little story attached to it without a huge amount about how you, all the things you did to help them, but you've mm-hmm. given them enough to show, you've given them some value in this article to show, wow, she really understands this stuff, and I'm stuck in 4 of these 7 places, and I'd like to know more.
Mm-hmm.
And then you offer them the complimentary strategy session. So how much have you studied in the program so far?
Well, I've just started.
Just started.
I met you at Bill Barron's Big Shift event.
Oh, great. Well, you know what I'm talking about spiritual people. And he was talking about all the same stuff, and that's what I was thinking about.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I get all tangled in, you know, helping people with their money shadows and developing a wealth consciousness and da-da-da-da-da-da. And I was just all tangled and knotted up in that process. And while I knew that's not where the answer was, you've just got this nailed.
Yep.
In this short period of time that I've been vacillating for years.
Wow.
I truly mean years.
Great. So I want you to try it in the real world, see how it works for you, and then you mm-hmm. can write me a testimonial quote.
I will do that, and I'm trying it out Friday at a perfect luncheon where spirit-based women are showing up.
Hey, perfect. Well, that's the whole thing we talk about. You know, market to people that you have affiliation with. Mm-hmm. That's the marketing ball model. So the thing that I really want to encourage you to do, Judy, is stick with the program. Read it all. Listen to it all. Do the homework. Think it through. Be on these coaching calls step by step. You're going to get a huge value from this. Huge value. This is just the tip of the iceberg.
What I've got right now is unbelievable.
Great.
And these calls are recorded, right? I have to digest all.
Yeah, these calls are recorded.
Okay, good.
If everything works, every once in a while we have a technical problem. This looks like it's recording fine. Okay.
Oh, thank you so very much.
You're welcome, Judy. Okay. Well, we've had three fantastic examples, just perfect examples. So let's do another one. So who would like to do another audio logo?
I'll go for it.
Okay, who's this?
This is Jonathan Dender in Oakland.
Jonathan Oakland in Denver. Only kidding. Jonathan Denver in Oakland. Okay.
Jonathan Bender, actually.
Bender?
Bender, Jonathan Bender.
Bender. Okay, my ears have got a problem today. Jonathan Bender in Oakland. Okay, great. Okay, Mr. Jonathan Bender, what do you do?
All right, so I have a somewhat similar demographic to Judy, but I'm tracing wording I've been playing with before that. So I work with conscious business entrepreneurs who don't feel they're communicating effectively or authentically enough.
Okay. Not communicating effectively or authentically enough. Okay, so, you know, that's kind of a marketing issue. So conscious business owners and business entrepreneurs, not that feel they're not communicating as effectively or authentically as they could. That's pretty good. Okay, you know, it targets your market. It talks about an issue that's really common. So then I say, okay, well, how do you do that, Jonathan?
Well, I help them find greater ease, presence, and empowerment with both speaking and in-person selling, which increases business and helps them fulfill their life's purpose.
Okay. So what do you think might be wrong with that?
Too long?
Yeah, it's sort of like it's a little too much. It's got some process, it's got some results. It's like effectiveness, life purpose, it's got everything in it. So it sort of loses its strength. Mm-hmm. By too much. You ever heard of the musician Miles Davis? Miles Davis was a master of just playing exactly enough notes. You know, you'd see other players that would play 10 notes for his one note. It was the silence between the notes and the right place notes that just made the statement like almost nobody else has ever been able to do, quite like him. And it was that that clarity and simplicity. And if you play all the notes, it all sounds really nice, but what is he really saying? And it's too much. So it's a bit like that. So you have to think of yourself as an improvising musician. I just want to say, pal, the right notes. So just kind of a metaphor you can think of. So let's try to make it simpler. Okay, so let me just ask you again. Let's just try a few. So how do you do that? And remember, when I say, how do you do that, I'm really asking, what do I get from working with you?
Well, I really help them speak with a lot more power and ease.
When you mean speak, do you mean like from a platform or just one-on-one or both?
It's both.
Okay. Okay.
So when they do that, it magnetizes clients to them and helps them build their business.
Okay. So let's go directly to a story. Do you have a story or two?
Sure.
Okay. So what's an example?
An example was a client who came to me recently who actually, and a few like this recently, pretty identical, where they're struggling along with having very little business because they have too much discomfort or afraid to, they just don't know how to talk about their work. So,
yeah. Okay.
So I would teach them skills, both what to say, but also how to use practical exercises to transform things. And they walked away excited and with real good, with excellent skills, and suddenly had far more business because they knew how to talk about it and how to specific techniques of what to do.
Okay, so for me, there was way too much process in that.
Yeah.
Even if the process is accurate, it's like, here's all the things he does and da-da-da, et cetera, as opposed to we worked with this person who wasn't getting a lot of business because he was uncomfortable in speaking about his business, communicating about his business, and his communication just wasn't effective. That was the bottom line, right?
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So we worked with him on the effectiveness of his communication. That's as much as I'm going to say about process. We worked with him on the effectiveness of his communication. And how long did you work with him?
I worked with him for five sessions.
Five sessions. Okay. Once a week or?
Once a week.
Once a week. Just five sessions. Okay. Great. So we worked with him over a number of sessions. I usually don't say the exact number. I worked with him for a number of sessions on his ability to communicate effectively and powerfully. And do you remember an example when he did that and he got a good client because of that?
I'm not remembering a specific example, but it happens often, so...
Okay.
It happens.
So, sometimes the more specific, the better.
Mm-hmm.
So, is this kind of ironic? You teach people this, but you struggle with it, you know?
Oh, of course.
Isn't it funny?
Yeah, well, it's always, I need the coaching too, even though I'm a coach.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's really interesting, you know. Yeah, I need coaching and I need support in some areas as well. You know, I write stuff and I look at it and I realize the whole damn thing is process. How could I do that? I know better. So anyway, if you say, you know, we work with him so he was communicating more effectively and powerfully, and within a few weeks... he felt a lot more confident about his business and was speaking in a way that was getting attention, and he got a number of good clients because of that, or, you know, that kind of story. See, that is more interesting to me than all the different ways that you did it.
Right.
As a lead-in. Right? As a lead-in. You know, you can talk about the process later. So do you have a giveaway to give your prospects?
I'm actually working on, I often will lead them to a couple of blogs that I write. I've also been working on having an ebook that I can send out.
Okay, an ebook. Okay. Report is easier than an ebook and sometimes just as effective. Mm-hmm. You know, one thing that, you know, I struggle with is how much information to give people, and sometimes I give people too much. And, you know, I'd like to give something that they can sit down and read in a sitting of, you know, half an hour or less. Sometimes just 15, 20 minutes. Because if you give something too long and too involved, it's like, well, I'll get to that later. And sometimes they never get to it. That's another conversation. We'll talk about that when we get to marketing currency later on in the series. But I think that is basically good. You know, let me talk a little bit about this whole concept of hooks and how this works for everybody. literally anything can be a hook, and it's a hook because it has particular interest to that client. And so if each part of your marketing message has some kind of a hook, that is, it naturally, easily, and effortlessly stimulates their interest, then you're going to get better results. So one of the hooks is the target market. I've often told the story about how I was at a workshop. Some people have been, my calls have probably heard this more than once. And we were talking about this concept, and someone said, I work with people who own big dogs. That's pretty simple, right? And so the person on the other end of the room said, hey, do you have a card? She didn't even know what that person did with big dogs, what the problem was with big dogs, or what the outcome was, let alone a story. It was only the target market that was the hook. It was enough of a hook. Because obviously, you know, big dogs come with their built-in problems, right? They eat a lot of food. They do a lot of you-know-what. They are, you know, they're large, unwieldy, hairy kind of beasts. And so someone that really specializes in working with big dogs, just that kind of thing is really a hook. See, it's much more of a hook than we work with people in small and large businesses. That's kind of ho-hum. So when, Jonathan, you use conscious business entrepreneurs, that's more of a hook because it's more of a descriptor. When Judy used spirit-based businesses, that's more of a hook. So anyone that's using something like that, married couples who want, you know, if the target market is clearer and people can immediately identify, oh, that's me. So that's the hook for target market. Oh, that's me. If that's instantaneous and they don't have to ask 20 questions to figure out who it is, then you're setting a hook with that. Problem is very much the same. We have issues. We have things we haven't worked out, blah, blah, blah. So, for instance, here's a great example. Perfect hook. I'm talking about my wife to get my car painted. No, it wasn't my wife. It was actually a friend just the other day. And on my car, I have headlights that are really hazy. They're oxidized, and they're not clear anymore. And I said, you know, how do you get that out? It's really expensive to replace these. And she said, oh, you can use this rubbing compound stuff, but it takes a long time. I said, okay, well, maybe I'll get around to it sometime. The next day, I saw a commercial said, do you have hazy lights that don't give enough light anymore? And that shows a picture of a headlight on a car that looks exactly like my headlight on my car. So the problem was graphic. It was real. It was, you know, we have this stuff that you just rub it on, takes a minute, 30 seconds, and it's clear. So what am I doing? I'm going to the computer 2 minutes after seeing the commercial, I order it. Because the problem was so clear. It wasn't about, is your car not looking as good as it could? Well, get the stuff that makes your car look good. That's way too general. So make sure your problem has that really specific hook. You know, it's not, you know, with John's issue about married couples, any really hook about that aspiration, so you can have a hook about an aspiration as well as a problem, that really goes, yeah, that's what I've always wanted, and you seem to be talking about it in the same way that I've been thinking about it, it sets the hook. Then the outcome. Is your outcome not just, as I talk about in the Fast Track program under marketing messages, it's not a cow ultimate outcome. You know, I call it a cow because a cow is kind of slow and lazy, and it chews its cud. And a cow isn't really exciting. It's just a really mellow kind of animal. But an alligator is different. You have to be aware, and you have to watch out, and who knows where that tail is going to do, and look at the size of those teeth, and oh my God, it's scary. It's attention getting. So that's why, you know, I coined the term an alligator ultimate outcome. So something that really is... So when I say double or triple your business in a year, that's an alligator outcome as opposed to we help you increase your business. so general, isn't very exciting, isn't very measurable, doesn't really get my attention, doesn't stick out in any prominent way. Does this make sense to everybody?
Mm-hmm.
All these, you know, making it more of a hook. So in each part of it, you're saying, okay, is this doing something? It's not boring. It's a little more exciting. There's a famous saying by a famous advertising executive, David Ogilvy, one of my favorite marketing sayings. You can't bore someone into doing business with you. And so an audio logo can't bore people. It has to have these hooks. And then the final hook is a story. And the story itself is the hook if it's a good story, because a story is real, it's not conceptual, and it's emotional. And people can see themselves in the story. They can see themselves just like that person that you helped. Oh, I'm just like that. Oh, I want to get those results. And the final thing is, a process can also have a hook. And the way a process can have a hook, and you know, I remember one of the very first people I remember in my business was a guy named Joe Meisner. And I think I might talk about this in the program. Joe, I met at a networking event that I was putting on, and he said, what we are is we're in the outplacement business. Well, I didn't know what the outplacement business was, so he explained it to me. That's when people get laid off from their corporation, and they need help finding a new job. And so that was basically, that was sort of a, you know, a basic, simple audio logo. It didn't really stand out that much, because that's what all outplacement people do, you know. You get laid off from a company. If you're an executive, you get an outplacement consultant to help you find the next job. But what he said next stood out, and I always remembered it, and it was what he used as his differentiator and as his hook, is that he had a different model for outplacement. The old model for outplacement was a psychological model. What everyone does is say, well, if you lost your job, there must be something wrong with you, so we'll put you through this battery of tests and do all this stuff and give you some office space and build up your self-esteem and blah, blah, blah. And then he said, I think that's complete nonsense in today's economy. So he contrasted what he's doing from what everyone else is doing. He says, instead, we take a marketing approach to outplacement where you've got to get out there, be different, get FaceTime, get mindshare. And so we called our company Power Marketing the outplacement alternative. And that just sticks in your mind. So really, his process or his approach is what he really made different. So some people can use the process to really stand out. But he did it almost better than anyone I've seen in 25 years. It was so clear. He was a marketing guy. He was a marketing professor. Moved from Texas, Houston, Texas, I think, to California, to start a new life and a new business, and he created this whole business and started to communicate it with this clarity and with this differentiation, which he thought was so important, and it was. And he started to get large companies left and right, made a lot of money, was very, very successful, and ultimately sold his company and then moved to Portland, Oregon. So process can be a hook, but it's often not the very best lead. Unless you have something unique, faster, different than everybody else, and you have a proven approach that really, really works better than everyone else's or is different for a certain reason. So you can put a lot of hooks in your market: target, problem, outcome, story, and even process. So in developing this, you want to think through this. Is this interesting? Is it a little different? Would it interest me? Is it relevant? Can I create a metaphor? Is there a graphic image that would relate to it? And then ultimately, it turns into something that is pretty simple, that doesn't look like you put any time and work into it at all, but you really have. And as Judy says, pal, this is like a revelation to her to start speaking about her business this way, and she's confident now that she can use this, and the other people were on the call, much, much more effectively to start to get attention. Okay, so I think that wraps it up for what I have to say. Is there any final question or little thing? We got a couple minutes left. Or something that you got out of this that you just want to share?
Robert, it's Judy again.
Yeah.
And as I shared before, I did get so many revelations out of this. But I think the one thing that's really comforting me and sticking out in my mind is the way you have said, we work with people who are, after we work with people, they, it's kind of just these significant words that keep my mind from going right over into process, which is,
right,
as I'm hearing from so many of us, that, you know, we do that so easily. And also to follow up, let me give you an example. I worked with one, you know, and then getting into that story mode, that's, to me, that's just really poignant to add that and to segue right into that, because the stories are so interesting, and you're so right on about that. So I really appreciate incorporating that.
That's great. That's,
yeah.
Thank you. Great. You know, and by the way, there are some expert interviews in the expert interview section on marketing messages. There's a good one with Ann Convery. The recent one we just did is exceptional, and we work on the same concept, and she even gets deeper into, you know, how to make this message intriguing and interesting. She has a slightly different spin on it, but it's excellent information. The more you study it, the more you think of it, the better it is. But nothing replaces practicing it, trying it out. See, this is where a big shift can happen. You try it out. All of a sudden, people are asking you for your card. You're sending them an article. You're following up, and you go, oh, my God, I've had a breakthrough here. And that communication breakthrough with a powerful message can change your whole business. And it's the start of really developing all your marketing around powerful messages, both verbal and written. Okay, so with that, thank you for attending the coaching call today, and we'll see you all in a couple weeks. The next one is on Tuesday, the 26th, same time, 12 o'clock Pacific. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.